All right, welcome in, y'all, to another edition of Ball Don't Lie. I'm your host, Cole Polly, and I'm so excited to be here. We're leaving NBA to the side this week. It's still cooking. We're close to the playoffs, but we're leaving it to the side for this 1 week in the name of March Madness. March Madness dominates this week. It's one of the best sports weeks of the year. I can't wait to get to it. We got a ton to talk about, and here to talk about it with me, as always, is TCU360's own Nick Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Can you believe it? He's back.
He's back again. I know everyone's thrilled. I'm thrilled. And I don't know, honestly, I don't know whether to, my joke for this week was going to be that I wasn't going to say anything good about Nick because we're facing each other in the fantasy basketball playoffs right now.
I'm worried about that, by the way.
I'm concerned. It's a dogfight right now. It's anybody's game right now. So that was going to be my joke, but then again, we're also in the intramural basketball playoffs on the same team, balling tonight at 8 p.m. if anybody wants to come check it out. But
some conflicting information here.
Yeah, so I don't know how to feel about Nick this week, but hopefully he's got some good takes.
Well, most people don't know how to feel about me every week, so the fact that for you it's just this week is actually a step in the right direction. But I lost my boy Malcolm Brogdon off my fantasy team due to injury, so I'm a little concerned. I think I'm ahead right now, but I don't know. We'll see.
It's been kind of bad. It's been back and forth.
Yeah, we both had a pretty good week. I don't know if it's going to last. I'm not particularly optimistic. You've been on a roll lately, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, I've been hot lately. I'm trying to ride this hot streak, but we'll see how it goes. We'll definitely keep y'all updated as of next week as to who got through. But
also, little side note. I was thinking about picking up Miles Turner last night, and then I picked up Thad Young instead, and then I watched Miles Turner drop 11 of the first 14 points for the Pacers.
No, Miles Turner went off. What am I doing? Yeah, the Pacers lost, but Miles Turner had like a sick game.
Yeah, I was not pleased with myself, but you live and you learn.
Yeah, it's a fantasy. You never quite know. I think I've had Thad Young on my team like in three different stints this season.
Yeah.
Like just kind of add drop.
Definitely.
But yeah, anyway, we're excited to get to a whole bunch of NCAA tournament related topics. And just before we get to anything too real, and we were just talking about this a little bit, but are you a paper bracket guy? I have to get this out there. Because everybody now does the ESPN tournament challenge, you do the bracket challenge, you do it on your phone, you do it on your computer, whatever. I always, before I even do that, I always print out the bracket. I always fill it out by hand. I'm an old man. Are you like that too?
I'm an old man. yeah, man. I gotta write that stuff down on paper. I gotta see it in front of me. If I can do it on the app, but I need to do it on paper first. You know, I gotta have it down. I gotta be able to like make little notes, erase stuff. Like it's just easier for me.
Yeah, and I gotta be able to see the.
It's the nostalgia too. You know.
I know. I grew up like that.
Do you remember? I don't know if you remember this. When they would print it in the newspaper and you would fill it out there.
Yeah.
That was the move, right?
Yeah,
there.
For so. Real. Yeah. Put it in the paper. Yeah. Oh man, that's going away. I was just saying by the time I'm 50, I'm going to be, who knows if there will even be printers for me to print one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be such an old man by that point. I already am. I'm only 22. I already feel like an old man.
We're behind the times.
Yeah, for sure. And then my other, just a quick bracket hot take. My take is that because these days, like on with ESPN Bracket Challenge and all, you can do multiple brackets. You know, I see people can do 3, 4, 5 brackets, whichever ways they want to do it, which is great. But if you're gonna do that, I'm not giving you credit for your upset picks. If you have some upset bracket off to the side, and you go and you tell, and someone walks, I'm not here for it this year when somebody walks up to me and says, "Oh, on one of my brackets, I picked Yale." No.
Any statement that starts with "on one of my brackets," I'm out on. That's why I changed. So we have like an ESPN bracket group for all the listeners that aren't aware. And I switched it this year. Only one entry per person.
Right.
The way it should be. Because it's more fun. If you have two entries, you can split the odds. If you have one entry, you have a very strong rooting interest. And I think that makes it more fun.
Sure. And you're right. I'm not listening to any statements this year that start with "one of my brackets." If you're not if you're not bold enough to pick the upset on your one bracket, on your bracket that you believe in, then I'm not here for it.
Then you don't believe in the upset, period. Yeah. That's just facts.
If you're not bold enough to do it on your one, then I'm not here to listen to it. But anyway, yeah, that's my hot bracket take. Had to get that out there for the people out there to hear my opinion. But on a real basketball note, I wanted to get your favorite NCAA tournament memory before we kind of start picking apart we're gonna kind of go through each region this year. Make kind of some upset picks, talk about who we like for this year's tournament. But what's your, do you have a favorite tournament memory from years past that either a player, an upset, a team you liked watching, anything that jumps to mind?
Absolutely. And I had to look up the year because I couldn't remember the year, but I got it now. 2006.
06.
Final Four, George Mason University.
Oh, that was huge.
For me. That was one of my favorite tournament runs that I've ever watched, particularly that game. I think it was Elite Eight when they beat UConn. I'm pretty sure that took them to the Final Four. That team was so much fun to watch. If you asked me to name a single person on the team, I could not. I think that's one of the things about it. And I feel like in recent years, and especially since then, we've seen more lower seeds going further in the tournament. It's become, because I think there's more parity throughout. But back then, like at least in my mind, like that was shocking to see an 11 seed going to the Final Four, and especially a school like George Mason that I was, you know, what was I, like 10? I'd never heard of them before. Mm-hmm. I guess probably 9, actually. I was 9. So that was really cool for me. And yeah, easily my favorite. Like, immediately when you asked me that question, that jumped out to me right away. Because that was like, that's when, one, I really started getting into the tournament. I was like, yo, mm-hmm. George, this George Mason team's awesome. Yeah. And then, two, it was just like seeing them pull that off was really special.
Yeah, that type of run was kind of what the tournament's about. And you're right that it makes a difference for it to be a school like George Mason. Because I remember here about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a Syracuse team that was a double-digit seed that made it to the Final Four. They were like a 10 seed, made a run to the Final Four, which is pretty amazing, the fact that they were that low of a seed and made it that far. But the fact that they're a blue blood program, nobody remembers that as like a Cinderella run. It's kind of those mid majors that really capture, like George Mason, that really capture the attention like that.
Yeah, UConn and Kentucky have had some teams like that too, I believe, where they're double digit. I think they were both tens at one point, and they made deep runs in the tournament. So yeah, definitely the name recognition is a part of it. But yeah, that George Mason team was just fun to watch.
Yeah, that was a great team. And my favorite memory, and it has a little bit to, I have to flex a little bit here too, because this is my all-time best prediction, has to do, like, in really in anything, this it has to do with the NCAA tournament. 2011 Kimball Walker UConn team. Loved that team. I still remember to this day, our spring break fell. I think I was still in junior high probably. Our spring break fell on the week of conference tournament week. UConn was like a 9 seed in the Big East. Mm-hmm. Played a game. They had to play in the very first round of the Big East tournament. It was a huge conference. They played Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Won all 5.
Cardiac Kemba.
Yeah, that was the birth of Cardiac Kemba. And then they went in the tournament and won the whole thing. And I had watched, I just remember I was laying on the couch all week spring break. Like this spring break, I went to Florida. Like I did something cool finally. That spring break.
Flex.
Oh, absolutely. Total flex. Completely. Yeah. But that spring break in 2011, laid on the couch and watched basketball the entire thing. Watched every UConn game. I was like, wow, this team is hot. They were like a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. So it wasn't like an incredible, like it wasn't completely miraculous. But 3 seed winning the whole thing, at least picking that to start with, is fairly bold. And I picked them all the way because I'd watched that whole Big East tournament and I was convinced. And then they went all the way. So I really enjoyed watching that team. Kimball Walker is still one of my favorite players in the NBA to this day. Plays with a chip on his shoulder, huge heart. But yeah, that UConn team, I thought they were incredible. And they just absolutely caught fire down the stretch of that season.
So is that your most impressive tournament pick of all time? Because I think that's a good question. That's the one you're going with?
That's
a good one.
Because I really haven't made a lot of good ones. I picked a few years ago when Duke won with Jahlil Okafor and those guys. I picked them to win. But that wasn't, they were a 1 seed. That wasn't, you know, I haven't picked that many winners.
Do you have an upset pick you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, a few years ago when, we got to love this, go Frogs. But a few years ago when Baylor lost to Georgia State, I believe it was in the first round, I picked that. I was thrilled about that. It was like our senior year of high school. Uh-huh. I picked that one. Do you have an upset pick?
I do. So I actually, that's one of mine. So I went 2 years in a row picking a 14 over a 3 and picked correctly. That's easily what I'm most proud of. I had that one. And then I think it was the year before that, Mercer beat Duke.
Oh,
pretty sure it was the year before. And I picked that one too. So I was on a roll. I was feeling myself. I was like, I'm picking 1 14-3 upset every year.
Man.
So I still do that. And I haven't gotten it right the last couple of years.
Mercer over Duke was huge. That's a tough pick.
I was just doing my research. I was like, this team's old. This team's experience. I was feeling it. And it, you know, it happened.
That's all. Yeah. You remember when Lehigh beat Duke too? With CJ
McCollum. Yeah. That was 15, that was, right? Yeah. 15 over 2.
Mm-hmm, that was a big one. So yeah, it's always good to get an upset. We'll get to this in a little bit, but I do have 1 14 over a 3 this year. We'll see if it works out.
Now you got me looking at the bracket like, which one is it?
Yeah,
I think I know.
Okay. I wasn't that bold really in the first round this year. I feel like my picks got a little bolder a little bit later in the bracket. But I didn't pick a bunch of upsets in the first round this year, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But what I want to get to first, I want to go ahead and get to this now.
Oof.
Our boys got bumped off the bubble. TCU didn't make the tournament this year after edging their way in last season. This season, right on the bubble down the stretch of the season, got a win against Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament, lost to Kansas State for the third time this season to finish the Big 12 tournament, and narrowly missed the NCAA tournament. So my question for you, as we kind of dive into this TCU, this whole TCU thing, we've only talked a little TCU basketball on the podcast this year. So overall, kind of where are you placing the blame as far as them? Because this was certainly a disappointment this year. The program's been on the rise the last couple of years. Even 2 years ago when they won the NIT, that was a big step up from where they had been. Last year made the tournament, that was a big step up. And then this year we were ranked in the preseason, ended up not making the tournament, which is a big letdown. So where are you placing the blame? You can put some on the committee if you feel like it's the committee not letting us in. Jamie, players, where's your blame pie going?
I wish more TCU fans would be willing to say what I'm about to say. TCU did not deserve to make the NCAA tournament. They shouldn't be there. The fact that they aren't there, frankly, I'm happy about it. As a TCU fan, sure, I was upset. As a neutral fan, good. Nobody wants to watch that TCU team in the NCAA tournament. I'm sorry, they don't. They weren't good this year. Now, we can get to the reasons why. I think the blame should be distributed in a number of places. Sure.
But not the committee. Committee's getting 0%.
No, I'm fine with it. If I was the committee, I wouldn't have put them in there either.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch Belmont and Temple than I would watch TCU. I would much rather watch, what's the other 11 playing?
Arizona State made it.
Yeah, Arizona State and St. John's. St. John's especially, all those teams. I would rather watch them than TCU.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is for me. They're more interesting. They pass. TCU does not pass the eye test, period. So right. Some people are telling the committee, I've seen it, you know, on Twitter and other places where people are reacting. They're like, did you even watch the games? Did you look at a record? If they watch the games, they're not putting TCU in the tournament. Because I can't think of a time this year, frankly, when I was actually that impressed by what I saw, except maybe the away win at Iowa State.
That was a good win.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I was not impressed by a thing this team did. Even in our wins, we frankly weren't that impressive in a lot of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I was really, as far as the committee, I was on the fence. I'm not shocked that we missed. I see a lot of the reasons why we missed, and I agree with you that the team just didn't look overly impressive in a lot of the wins, which I think was a big deal. But I heard a quote from Jamie Dixon that was talking about how he feels like they're being penalized for being in a really strong conference, because TCU had a weak conference record. And I think it's tough for me to say because, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, good losses. I mean, I don't know how far that necessarily that goes, but I just think at the end of the day, I understand why they missed, because I don't think TCU had enough of the good, because TCU lost twice to Kansas, lost twice to Texas Tech, lost three times to Kansas State, lost twice to OU, missed a lot of those opportunities at the top of the conference, aside from Iowa State, who randomly TCU had their number naturally, yeah. The Big 12 conference champion, tournament conference champion, that is. Mm. So I was on the fence as far as the committee, but I can definitely see why they missed, because I don't think TCU took advantage of enough of those top of the conference games, and also had some lost to Oklahoma State, lost to West Virginia, had tough losses at the bottom of the conference too. So I feel like one or the other needed a couple of those big wins at the top of the conference, or at least needed to dominate the bottom of the conference, you know?
Oh yeah, if we win some of those games against OU, against West Virginia, against Oklahoma State, we're probably in.
Yeah.
But they didn't, and they didn't deserve to. And so I have absolutely no problem with them being left out of the tournament. As far as blame, yeah, I don't blame the committee at all. I think at TCU it can go to a number of places. I blame the players. I don't think they did enough. Also, we faced a lot of injuries. We had people leaving. And so I think some of that puts the blame on the coaches as well, because mm-hmm. you can blame the players as much as you want for the players that have left our program and say that, but the fact is that if you have four players that are leaving your program in one season, you got to look at yourself, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because four players don't just walk out of the program of their own accord because they're all just selfish and want playing time. That's not what happens. I have never seen something like that at a program before, where you have four players in the same season choosing to leave. So while some of that you can put on the players, sure, I think some of that's got to go to the coaching staff as well. And the fact of the matter is that I had some problems with our rotations as well this season. with our defensive schemes. Now, look, some of that comes down to just the number of injuries and departures that we had, and I get that. When you have, you know, six or seven healthy players, you got to do some things with your roster. Mm-hmm. And some of that was like the zone defense that we kept switching to at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. It never worked. People scored or got open looks on us pretty much every time we switched because we barely ever played it. But my guess is that was just to, you know, save legs and try and keep people a bit fresher at the end of the season.
Yeah.
That said, it's decisions like that when you're getting scored on every time, maybe you got to try a different zone. You got to try something else. Yeah. In case you can't tell, I feel very strongly that Tennessee did not deserve to be in there. But yeah, and then I think some of it needs to go, frankly, to the fan base, too. And there's only so much they can do about this. But look, you had a team that needed to get some wins down the stretch to get in the tournament, and you didn't really go support them. Mm-hmm. And that's, now, this has been a problem at TCU for forever, and it's probably going to continue being at TCU for forever. But look, our arena's not that big. So, you know, I would hope we could at least fill the seats. And when you got a bunch of empty seats toward the end of the season in games you need to win, That's just how it is, man.
Yeah, and I thought, as far as the crowd, I thought it was hit or miss. I mean, that's the thing, and I've heard Roy Williams say this at North Carolina, which is interesting. But I think it was last year he was saying something like, "Well, it's not going to be Duke every game. We're not playing Duke every game, so we need the fan support even when it's not Duke, you know." And like TCU, the TCU versus Kansas game, we were there together, and that was a crazy environment. That was a good environment for TCU basketball, but we're not playing Kansas every game. And I can understand where it would have been. I mean, the wins are always going to get the crowd, and we had a lot of, we had a lot of tough losses, for the crowd to swallow. So I feel like it was just a disappointing season overall. And yeah, I would also put a lot of the blame on the fact that the injuries and transfers that happened that took such a major hit to the depth that we originally expected to have coming into the season, because it looked like a deep team coming into the season. Jalen Fisher, Caden Archie, who was coming in as a freshman, that was highly touted. It was an exciting roster overall, and we were down to a very slim six or seven man rotation by the end, which I think, as far as managing games, it's tough for me to put a lot of blame on Jamie Dixon as far as trying to manage that number of players. Now, as far as why those other guys were leaving the program is peculiar to me. I don't quite understand it. I don't know quite what was going on there. But to me, it's just kind of the decimated roster. And I thought we were stagnant offensively a lot of times, unless Desmond Bain was making things happen himself. I thought he was dynamic, especially down the stretch this season, and really kind of gave TCU a boost. But aside from that, kind of just Alex Robinson pick and roll every time down the court was stagnant, and it wasn't working and was frustrating to watch.
And to me, some of that, I mean, look, if the coaching staff is saying, hey, A-Rob, here's the ball, run a pick and roll every time, that's a problem. That's not what we should be doing. And
that's coaching, yeah.
Look, teams, did we end up with seven players? Yes. Is that very difficult to win with? Yes. But if you're a team, there are a lot of teams in college basketball that play with seven man rotations. Sure. If you've got a good seven man rotation, then you can make things happen. Our seven man rotation wasn't good. Look, the players were not good enough to make the tournament. Mm-hmm. Look at the starting line. Yeah, Dez is very good, but he fades in and out of the game at times. Sometimes you don't hear from him for 30 minutes at a time. A-Rob is fine, I guess. He can take over games. He can also lose games for you. We saw that a couple times with turnovers, with missed free throws, etc. Kawhi's a good player that thinks he's better than he is. Dude takes – I love – Kawhi's my boy. I love Kawhi. But he takes a lot of shots, and he drives to the hoop a lot. And sometimes he's on, and sometimes he's not. And that's fine. I like that he's aggressive. I wish Dez would be more aggressive. But sometimes you got to know when to chill out.
Yeah, Kevin Samuel.
Yeah, Kevin Samuel, he's good, but he's a freshman. Look, you can only –
Well, I thought he lived up. I think
absolutely. He's going to be good. I think he's going to the league. I do. Sure. I could see him being like a Clint Capella type.
Sure.
Like a rim-running five. But – at this point, you can't be relying on your freshman center to be the one that's carrying the offense. And at times, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then who's the other starter that I'm missing?
JD Miller.
Yeah, JD Miller. Well, he's JD.
You got no more to say about that.
Yeah, never mind. I'll leave it at that. And then what you got? You got Kendrick on the bench, who I like. He's awesome.
I do too.
Fan of Kendrick. But again, he's a freshman. You made some freshman
mistakes. You're a big fan of RJ Nembhard.
And then don't get me started on RJ Nembhard. Look. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. RJ Nembhard is not good enough to be on this team.
Okay, fair. That's fair. That's fair. So you're down to six. I mean, because RJ is the seventh. I mean,
yeah.
Six-man rotation is difficult to deal with. I think expecting to have Jalen Fisher and Caden Archie in the rotation coming into the season would have made us a top 25 team is where we should have been. That's where we were projected to be coming into the season. I think even without those guys, this is a top 68 team or a top 36 at large spots team should have been. So it was tough to watch in that respect. Tough season and underwhelming season for TCU, so we'll see where they go. And a quick note, too, the TCU women barely missed the tournament, and I thought they should have been in.
That I agree with. I agree.
They should have made it, and I saw that they had 10 Big 12 wins this year, and a team that had double-digit Big 12 wins hasn't missed the tournament since 1999. I thought they got the raw end of the deal there. The TCU women deserve to make it. They had a really great season this year. I'm obviously so biased. I'm on the practice squad with them. I love that team. But I thought we were certainly a talented enough team this year. Worked hard enough, had good enough Big 12 wins. Thought they should have been there. Just wanted to throw that in there.
No, I agree. And frankly, I went and watched them a couple times this season. It was much more in a 10 than I was by the men. So I agree with you completely. And don't cut any of that I said about the players. I meant every word of it. So, yeah. Sorry about it.
Yep. So on to the teams that are in the field. We're going to take kind of a quick spin through each region, talk about some interesting matchups, talk about who we see that could be a bracket buster, and then we'll kind of pick our winner for each region, kind of go down the line that way. So let's start out in the – I'm trying to see which East region with Duke as the number one overall seed in the tournament. There are several interesting matchups here. What do you see that interests you in the East region?
Yeah, so in terms of what could happen, I'll just kind of work my way down the bracket. If North Carolina Central wins their first round play-in game against North Dakota State, you know they're in Durham. Like, they're in the same town as Duke.
Right.
So I just think that's interesting. I heard that on a different podcast. Shout out to One Shining Podcast. I heard that, which I didn't know. So I think that's really interesting.
Okay.
Potentially. But then in the next round, when Duke wins.
I doubt North Carolina Central has anyone that wants to guard Zion. I would be surprised.
I don't think anyone has anyone that wants to guard Zion. Especially not UCF, who, if they're able to beat VCU, we could get to see some Zion versus Taco Fall action.
We could see Zion dunking on Taco. Yeah. Or Taco Block. I'll give Taco a chance. What if Taco swats Zion? I don't know.
Zion's going to go up for a dunk and he's just going to go through. Taco Fall weighs about 5 pounds.
No, that's my guess. He's going to bulldoze Taco.
Yeah. So that's going to be entertaining. I think Liberty over Mississippi State is a solid upset pick that I've seen a lot of people calling. I would agree that I have
the 12 and the 5 is that dangerous matchup.
Yeah, I've never been particularly impressed by this Liberty team, or sorry, by this Mississippi State team this season. I'm intrigued by Maryland because I think Maryland's a team that has a ton of potential and upside and a lot of talent, and they're huge. They have Bruno Fernando up front, who's a really good player, and another freshman whose name I'm blanking on, but another freshman big man. So that they're a really big team and they're a team with some decent guard play too. I think they have the potential to go to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, but they're very up and down, so I could see them losing the first round just as easily.
Sure.
So I'm intrigued to watch that team. And then my upset pick for this region, which I'm guessing may be the same as yours. I know you mentioned a 314 earlier. At least this is the one I'm going with. I'm taking Yale over LSU. That LSU team right now is a mess. Will Wade is suspended, their coach. And I watched that Yale team in that conference tournament when they beat Harvard, I believe, in the final. That's a good team, and that's a team with an NBA player in Oni and a lot of other good pieces that can really make some noise. So I like that Yale team.
Yep, that is exactly where I'm going. You're right.
Oh, I knew it.
Yep. So that's really my biggest upset pick, I think, of the first round overall. I agree, though. It's chaos. It's chaos with LSU, and Yale's hot right now. I like the squad they have. I also saw them against Harvard. I think they're an interesting team who's going to come out and play well. And I think if LSU is in disarray, they're going to be in trouble. So I think I also agree that that's big upset potential. So you've got a couple of big, if you feel like Liberty could be, I picked Mississippi State there, but I certainly agree that it could be a close game there with Liberty. So there's definitely, I think St. Louis is also a hot team right now. I'll say St. Louis against Virginia Tech, that could be upset alert. I still pick Virginia Tech because I think the ACC is a great conference. I think Virginia Tech's been through the fire this year, and I think that's going to bode well for them going into the tournament. So I still picked Virginia Tech, but I think there are several dangerous games within this group. So that being said, who do you have coming out of the East?
It's got to be Duke, right? I mean, it's an easy. And look, and I do like, you mentioned Virginia Tech. I really like this Virginia Tech team. They've got Alexander Walker. They've got Robinson is back now. Mm-hmm. Justin Robinson. They're a really good team, and I enjoy watching them. But I don't think they're going to be able to beat. I mean, they haven't. Well, they beat them once this season. They beat Duke once this season. Yeah. I believe, but that was at home. Duke was injured. On a neutral site. Yeah. Zion was out. So I think Duke gets by them. And then I don't think Michigan State just doesn't have enough talent in my mind to compete with Duke. I think they'll get to the Elite Eight probably. I don't even want to say that. I mean, look, the Michigan State team's good. I never doubt Tom Izzo, but they just – it's Cassius Winston and then the boys right now. Like, the rest of that team, frankly, they're not that talented. They're good. There's good pieces, and they've been able to take care of stuff. And now Aarons is out. I don't know if you saw that, but he got injured.
Oh, yeah, just a gruesome injury.
Yeah, yeah. Poor, really, really felt bad for the guy. But he's out now, I'm guessing, indefinitely.
I would agree.
So I don't think anyone in this region – look, I think Duke got put in a very easy region, frankly, and I don't think – as the number one overall seed, you should, but I don't think they're going to have any trouble getting through this one.
Right, and I heard a lot of people who were that was one of the at least kind of watching the talking heads on TV following the tournament bracket reveal. That was a lot of the talk was surrounding the fact that Michigan State kind of got the raw end of the deal as far as seeding. They're a 2 seed, which was kind of expected, but they're the last. You know, they're like the 8th overall seed, which puts them in the same region with Duke, which is. That's how they get rewarded for going ahead and winning their conference, winning the conference tournament in a tough championship game against Michigan. And that's how they get rewarded by kind of getting the raw end of the deal there by being put in the same region with Duke, which I agree that I thought they kind of earned a little better shake than that by winning their conference tournament. Because I, as the committee, I think you want to put that kind of validity behind the conference tournament and at least giving a seeding advantage to a team that made that postseason statement.
Yeah, explain to me how Michigan is a higher seed than Michigan State when Michigan State beat them head to head 3 times.
I thought that was a
three times.
That was a foolish error.
It doesn't make any sense.
So I thought that was one of the few things that the committee really missed on. I agreed with kind of what I was hearing on TV there, but I agree that Duke. I have Duke. I'm impressed with what they're doing here down the stretch. I've been very impressed with what I've seen from Zion coming back in the ACC tournament. I think he's looked dominant. So I do expect it if they do see Virginia Tech, I would expect it to be a tough matchup. Virginia Tech is a really tough team, and Michigan State, you're right that it's Cassius Winston and everybody else right now. So it's going to be tough for Michigan Tech as far as scoring. And Trey Jones is probably the best defensive guard in the NCAA right now for Duke. So I like Trey Jones in that matchup against Cassius Winston. I think that gives Duke the best opportunity to stop Michigan State if that is a matchup, but I do have that matchup in the Elite Eight. And I have Duke advancing to the Final Four. So, East region. Let's skip over kind of to the South region with the number two overall seed. Number one seed in that region is Virginia. We know what happened last year with Virginia. We'll see about this year. They looked just as dominant last year, really, as they do this year. They've had a great regular season. Tennessee is the number two seed out there in the South. What do you see kind of with the matchups there that interests you?
So first of all, let's address Virginia. I was going to say the elephant in the room. I think that's fair because everybody's kind of looking at the scene. Look, I've been really high on this Virginia team this year because I think they can score this year. And that's a difference from years past. I think this year they have a few go-to guys that can get them a bucket down the stretch when they need one. So I've been saying all year that, well, obviously I didn't think they were going to get upset by a 16 seed again. I've been saying all year I think they could be a Final Four or even a championship team. Mm-hmm. That said, there's a little part of my brain that can't help but look at that Gardner-Webb team, who's a very talented 16 seed with a lot of similarities to the UMBC team, and who's not going to be coming in scared now because they saw what happened last year. There's a little part of me that thinks, could it happen again? Right. And I don't think it will. I'm not going to pick them, but I'm just saying that Gardner-Webb team is a high-scoring team that has a lot of similarities to the team that beat them last year. I would argue is much better than that UMBC team that beat them last year, so... I don't know. I can't get it off of my head.
Do they have the yips? Are they over it?
I don't know. I can't, especially after they lost in the ACC tournament. I can't quite get that out of my head, man. But yeah. But I mean, I'm not actually going to pick them there. I'll go with Virginia, but man, I don't know. As far as upsets go in this one, look, the Pac-12 is a joke, but Oregon ran through that tournament. They're hot now. They're going up against a Wisconsin team that typically plays pretty slow. I like the Wisconsin team, but I could see Oregon potentially as an upset pick in that one. That's a game to watch. And then Old Dominion, watch out for them. This is another 14. A couple of the 14s in this bracket are really good.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Old Dominion team with a lot of experience, a lot of scoring and athleticism. Going against a Purdue team that every time I watch them this season, I'm not impressed by them.
Yeah.
It's Carson Edwards putting up a million shots, sometimes missing a million shots.
Pretty similar to Michigan State with Cassius Winston. Like, Carson Edwards is a very, very good player, so is Cassius Winston, but the rest of the team just doesn't look quite together.
And I would take Cassius Winston over Carson Edwards any day, for sure. So I haven't been that impressed by them this season, so that's a game that I've got my eye on. And then this is the Tennessee team at the bottom of the bracket that I really like this season. They did lose that game against Auburn. I'm not sure how much of that was Auburn being ridiculous and Tennessee just coming in thinking they'd already won against Kentucky the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So I still really like this Tennessee team. But as far as an upset to watch in this tournament, I haven't finished filling out my bracket, so I'm not sure if I'm going to go with it, but I'm definitely looking at the idea of picking Old Dominion over Purdue.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one. There's a lot of interesting matchups. I think even Villanova and St. Mary's is an interesting matchup.
Uh-huh.
Nova's got the championship DNA. We know that. St. Mary's is hot right now. They just came out. They just won their conference tournament. They took out Gonzaga in their conference tournament. They're hot. They're a good team right now.
Uh-huh.
I would not be surprised to see them win. I'm going with Villanova, and I have Villanova in the Elite Eight. I think that part of the bracket falls nicely for them. I think it's a tough first round matchup for them, but I think that bracket's going to fall nicely. I like them against Purdue if it happens to be Purdue or possibly Old Dominion. I think that little section of the bracket could fall nicely for Villanova if they're able to make it through that first round matchup. So, and you mentioned Oregon also. I like them as a hot. Pac-12 was absolute garbage this season, but I like them. I like them as a hot team right now against the Wisconsin team that I am not impressed with right now. I'm not thrilled with what I see from Wisconsin. They don't look like they're clicking on all cylinders to me, and Oregon does, having blown through the Pac-12 tournament. So I'm going with Oregon as a 12 against the 5 there. That's kind of my bracket buster on that side. UVA, we discussed a little bit. I'm not confident. I'm not confident in UVA. They've looked good this year. They look good a lot of years. See, people forget that obviously last year with the 16 over the 1, everyone's going to remember that. But even in these last 3, 4, 5 years that they've been a quality team, they haven't necessarily performed in the tournament the way they're supposed to. So I think until that kind of comes to I think until that kind of fleshes itself out, I'm not going to be certainly confident in Virginia. So I have them losing to Kansas State in the Sweet 16, and I have Kansas State and Villanova matching up in the Elite Eight, which is kind of, that's an interesting matchup. I'm confident in Kansas State. I think they're a hot team. They made it to the Elite Eight last year, so they have a lot of experienced guys. And I'm picking Kansas State to the Final Four.
That is bold. I do like this K-State team. They got a lot of experience. I think they can beat anyone in a one-off game. I dig what you said about that Villanova-St. Mary's game. I think Villanova's good. I've seen them a lot this season. I've seen them live. I watched them when they played Butler a few weeks ago. I like that team. Phil Booth is incredible. Every time I watch him, look, that good dude player. He's a very good player. You put him one-on-one against anyone, he's going to score, especially when he's a clutch player, so I like him. That K-State-Virginia matchup, which is what I see happening in the Sweet 16, is intriguing to me because they both play similar styles. They both have some individually talented players, but they both play really slow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be like a first 1-55 maybe wins that game. Yeah. So that'll be interesting as well. I'm going to pick Tennessee to come out of this region. I really like this Tennessee team. I'm really high on them. I love Schofield. I love Grant Williams. So I think I'm going to roll with them. But yeah, this is it's an interesting part of the bracket. I think one that not most people don't really find particularly exciting, which I get. It's a lot of teams that play at a slow pace and don't necessarily, get viewers super excited. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens there. I'm going to roll with my volunteers to get out.
Yeah, and I was torn on, to just a quick note, I was torn on Tennessee this year because I really like Schofield and Grant Williams. I think they're an athletic team. I think they're a dangerous team. I'm weary about Rick Barnes, about Rick Barnes coach teams in March. I grew up watching the Texas Longhorns. They had many, many tough marches where they went out a lot quicker than they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm weary about a team that he coaches in March, and I'm not confident in his coaching style in March. So that's kind of why I had Tennessee going out a little bit earlier. But I like their roster. So we'll see if Schofield and Grant Williams and those guys are kind of able to lead them to a good tournament run. So little lower on time, but heading to the Midwest, what do you see out there that interests you? North Carolina, the number one seed out there. A lot of blue bloods in this part of the bracket. You got North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, several interesting teams. An Auburn team that just whipped right through a tough SEC tournament. What do you see that's interesting out there in the Midwest?
Yeah, so this is the region that, I don't know, I'm so intrigued by, because there are a lot of blue bloods. There are a lot of interesting matchups. As far as the upset pick, look, I'm really torn because one of my favorite, probably my favorite 12 seed in this bracket, well, Murray State's fun, but probably my, like, who I think is the best 12 seed in this bracket is New Mexico State. Oh, man. And I really like them, but they're playing Auburn, and I just watched this Auburn team ball out in the SEC tournament.
Oh, they destructed people.
Yeah, and it was just so, and I've been impressed all season. I've been saying that's a talented team if they can just get clicking. Mm-hmm. I still think I'm going to go with Auburn in that game. And Auburn's a team that, look, if Auburn keeps their hot shooting going, that's a team that could make the Final Four. Mm-hmm. They have that much talent. Mm-hmm. Harper's incredible. Some of their other guy, Bruce Brown, is incredible. Like, they've got so much talent out there on the floor. Harper scored like 2 points in the final of the SEC championship, and they won by what, like 20?
Yeah.
Against Tennessee.
Dominated,
like,
the game.
That team is incredible when they're shooting well. But as with most shooting teams, like, it comes down to, are you making them? And so they're a team that just as easily could go out in the first round if they get cold against a talented New Mexico State team. So I don't think I'm going to take them deep in the tournament just because I don't, you know, sometimes you don't make shots. Mm-hmm. But they're a team that absolutely could go deep if they get going. As far as upsets, look, I've been low on Kansas all season. So the one that I'm really looking at that I'll probably take is Northeastern over Kansas.
Okay, yeah. Kansas is sort of stumbling into the tournament more than they typically do because they normally are coming off of Big 12 championship. A lot of times a Big 12 tournament win. That's the way they come into the tournament a lot of times. They're not coming in that way this year. They're coming in injured. They're coming in kind of limping a little bit. We'll see how they look. But Northeastern, I would say, is probably a popular upset pick there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not high on this Kansas team. I think Northeastern's a talented team, a very well put together and well coached team from what I saw in the tournament. So I'm going to roll with them in this one. And then looking a bit further down the bracket, look, I think Kentucky is my pick to get out of this bracket. I like North Carolina, but Kentucky's been coming on lately. I know they lost a close one to Tennessee in the tournament, but it's a talented team that I think ever since that first game that they got blown out by Duke, they've been out for revenge and just trying to come back and make some noise in the tournament. I think they're well set up to do that. Mm-hmm. My guess is they're going to have a Sweet 16 game against Iowa State, who I really like, because I don't trust Houston as a 3 seed, frankly.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a tough challenge for them. Iowa State's a very talented team that's on a roll, and they're a team that is well set up with their talent for a tournament format.
Sure.
So I think that's going to be a tough challenge for them. But yeah, I like Kentucky to get out of this part of the bracket.
Yeah, and I'm actually, we were just talking about Auburn. It's hit or miss. You're counting on hot shooting for them, but I've actually got Auburn in the Final Four. I'm feeling bold. Like I said, I feel like, and as far as an upset pick in the first, I really have nothing as far as an upset pick in the first round on this side. I think completely chalk on this side, on the first round on this side of the bracket. I don't think I picked one seed upset. I think Wofford is dangerous to possibly make a run. Fletcher McGee is an incredible player for them. So I think when you have that kind of star power, it's like kind of a Jimmer Fredette effect. I think you have a chance. It gives you a chance.
But so, they do have a tough first round matchup against a talent. Like, that Seton Hall team is good.
Seton Hall is sneaky, and then they could possibly have Kentucky in the second round. So that could kind of squash Wofford. But Wofford's a dangerous team. I don't think I would want to play against them either. So tough section of the bracket, interesting section of the bracket. Auburn is hot right now. I was just talking about my Kemba Walker pick earlier. I watched Auburn in that SEC championship, and they looked dominant. And the SEC is a good conference this year. I think Auburn looks good right now. I like Auburn in the Final Four, so that's who I have getting out. And then real quick, we're going to flash over to the West real quick. Gonzaga, the number one seed there. Michigan, the number two seed there. Should have been Michigan State probably, if anything. But they've got some interesting teams out there. They've got Syracuse, they've got Florida State, Texas Tech, who's looked really good in the Big 12. What do you see there as far as possibly an upset? I know a lot of people like Murray State, and that's my bracket buster over there, but I think it's a lot of people's with John Morant.
Yeah, I agree. I go with Murray State. I like this Marquette team, but I think they're very similar teams. There's going to be so much coverage of Marcus Howard for Marquette versus John Morant for Murray State. Oh, man,
great first round matchup. Oh, yeah. I love it.
I'm going to roll with Murray State. I just, every time I watch this Marquette team, I'm not, like, if Marcus Howard isn't hitting everything.
If he doesn't put up 40,
I don't trust them to win, and he's capable of it, but I have yet to be that impressed by the Hauser brothers don't do it for me, really. Like, sometimes they'll make shots, but I don't feel like they do a whole lot else. So I'll roll with Murray State in that one. But my team that I'm thinking about taking out to the Final Four that might surprise you is Florida State. I'm really high on this Florida State team.
They're pretty good ACC tournament,
right? Yeah, pretty good. Made the final, I believe, right?
Yeah,
final
against Duke. Played a good game against Duke.
Yeah. They're a really good team, and they're a team that they can match up with anyone just because of their size and athleticism. And I think that's where Gonzaga, the one seed in this bracket, typically overwhelms people is with their size and athleticism. They're not going to have that advantage against Florida State, and I like this Gonzaga team. I think they're incredible, but I think Florida State has the ability to pull off that upset, and I'm taking them to the Final Four in this one.
All right, so Florida State, I agree with you that they're hot right now. I like them. I've got them in the Elite Eight. I've got Texas Tech in the Final Four.
Ooh.
So I've got two Big 12 teams in the Final Four. Maybe that's Big 12 bias by me, but I believe in the conference. I think they are a good postseason team. I like Texas Tech a lot as far as defense, and I think that's going to serve them well in March. So I've got Texas Tech in the Final Four. And real quick, we're going to wrap it up with champion. Who do you have?
It's got to be Duke, right?
Got to be
can't,
Duke.
You can't pick against Duke.
I'm with Duke. I would kick myself if I picked somebody else and it was Duke. So
I see you have something written in the championship part of your bracket. What does that say? Tell the people.
That word is Zion. I'm taking Zion in the championship. So, yeah, that's my exact feeling there. Yep, thanks so much, Nick, for coming on, and it's going to be really interesting to keep track of this tournament as we go.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a good time. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely, and don't forget to check us out on Twitter, @BDL_pod. Can't wait to come back next week and talk all of the hoopla and all of the madness. Appreciate it. Never forget, the ball don't lie.